This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. Brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Horticulture here at the New York State College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at Cornell University. And the following are observations and recommendations for the week of June 29th, 2009. Well, the wet weather continues. Take advantage of windows to keep up with some of your turf projects. Wet soils, leggy turf, lots of weeds, no end in sight for the rainfall for the Northeast. This week will allow for some drying conditions during the day, and then storms will build and add more moisture. It's critical to keep up with practices. Allowing the turf to go long in between mowings can lead to scalping, and this typically happens from false crowning. The growth point elevates away from the ground surface and becomes more vulnerable to scalping by the mower. Also, surface organic matter accumulations will create difficult situations for turf roots that will create problems if temps start to increase. Crabgrass barriers from pre-emergent herbicides are questionable at this time with excess rainfall, so be prepared for good early post-control where you've had good pre-control to this point. Adequate moisture is allowing for significant nitrogen relief from soil organic matter, and of course that's going to be very much dependent on the age of your turfgrass area. The older areas are going to have more nitrogen contributing from the organic matter. I would avoid additional fertilization at this time that could stimulate lush disease-susceptible growth. Well, we finished a successful field tour up at the University of Rochester. About 42 turfgrass professionals came in. We had an excellent day with the turfgrass team up there and the participants going from 8 to 12. And we're already geared up and excited for our next field tour, this time at the research plots here in Ithaca, expected right now on July 15th from 8 a.m. to noon. And, of course, you can get more information about that at our Cornell Turfgrass website. The weather from last week from R.D. Gaetano, director of the Northeast Climate Center here at Cornell, was mostly a normal week with eastern parts of the region slightly below normal, about 3 below, the western region about 3 above, so that leaves most of the region about normal. Heat this year, we accumulated between 100 and 175 degree days for the week, leaving most areas consistently 3 to 7 days behind last year and about even with the historical averages. Now, areas along the lakes are the furthest behind. Some of those areas are about 10 days behind last year and about a week behind normal. Well, precip, the winters are obviously in the lower Hudson Valley, Long Island, 3 to 5 inches of rainfall last week. And this has become now the second wettest June in the history of weather keeping at LaGuardia Airport. Oddly enough, 2003 was in fact the wettest year at LaGuardia Airport, so it seems we have somewhat short memories with regard to that. South Central New York, about 1.5 to 2.5 inches of rain, and it was dry as you move to the very northern parts of the region and to the very southern parts of the Northeast region. ET range from about 0.5 to 1 inch, depending on how much rainfall you got and how cloudy it was. Soil temps at a 2-inch depth, again, depending on moisture, but many are upper 70s for highs and upper 60s for lows. Well, the forecast for this coming week is, again, another showery, unstable period is expected this week. Temps will be close or slightly above normal, upper 70s into the 80s. And every day we expect to have a chance of isolated or scattered storms. Again, with all this moisture, the disease risk, especially for foliar diseases such as dollar spot, foliar anthracnose, red thread, are going to continue to be high. And the brown patch risk, again, is going to be high to the south. And dollar spot risk will be high as you move further north. The Cornell Cooperative Extension update for this week, first from Walt Nelson in the Finger Lakes. Rainfall, which was not much there the last 3 weeks ago, is now keeping red thread and leaf spot active on many lawns and sports turf. Red thread is aggressively taking out both ryegrass and Kentucky bluegrass in some sports fields. Not many options at this point except keep active growth and promote surface drying when possible. The Capital District update from David Chinnery reports widespread concern again for red thread persisting in lawn samples. Summer annual weeds are actively growing and become a bigger problem if your turf is weak. Report from Long Island from Tom Kowalsik out on the east end. A variety of leaf spot diseases keep coming into the lab led by red thread and bipolaris leaf spot. These problems are being found on every type of lawn grass and is often most severe on fine leaf fescues that do not like persistent leaf wetness and are also not actively growing during the drier, warm periods of this year. The Westchester update from Rick Harper and Jerry Diordano, again, like others, reporting dollar spot, red thread, foliar, pythium on golf courses in the county. Many examples of scalping on all types of turf, and most soils in the area are waterlogged and not ideal for any type of traffic, including the maintenance traffic from mowers and spreaders. Now, we have an update on the annual bluegrass weevil, a note from Pat Vittem at the University of Massachusetts. And Pat has an excellent landscape message update available at the turfgrass website through the University of Massachusetts. Pat's saying that this year seems to be very different than years in recent past as the adults started showing up and never peaked, but instead just kept on coming. Now we'll see tiny larvae, middle-sized larvae, large larvae, pupae, and new young adults all in the same 2-inch turf plug. Many of us in the metro New York area, for the worst is over, at least for now. There'll be more overlap of stages this summer than usual, and if you need to treat the larvae soon, you need to wait until the soil's not saturated. If you use a soluble product like triclofon or Dilox, it may move through the treatment zone, and if you get an inch of rain shortly after the application, so you want to be careful about that. You may be playing a waiting game for the next few days until you get a break in the wet weather. Remember that nothing kills the annual bluegrass weevil when it's in the pupal stage. Sports Turf report this week from Joanne Grudadorio, the Executive Director of the Sports Turf Managers Association in New York, discusses algae and turf, a very timely topic with wet conditions. Environmental conditions are favorable right now for algae to develop on low-density turf. Green or blue-green algae are lower plants that mat together to form a slimy green-black surface that, when dry, rolls and becomes crusty. Algae does not directly infect turf, but it can outcompete turf in low-density areas, and it inhibits important processes like soil-oxygen exchange. From a playability standpoint, it can also directly affect footing and traction because it's so slippery. Environmental conditions that favor algae start with poor surface drainage caused by compaction of poor soils. If local weather conditions are warm, cloudy, and wet, then the problem is aggravated. Mowing a turf species too low and applying too much irrigation can also favor algal outbreaks. Your control options when the algae dries, it cracks and curls. Dry algae crust could be diluted by verticutting and or scarifying. Improving surface drainage to soil remediation practices like core aerification and top dressing. Increasing turf density by slit seeding desirable grasses into thin areas will help the recovery process. There are two products labeled for algae control in turf. One is Mancozeb, often sold under the name of 4, that also has a green dye in it that will make the algae less noticeable. If you use 4, the old-fashioned Mancozeb, it had was a yellow material that would also often leave the turf looking kind of yellow. And Xeritol also is a product labeled for algae control in turf. And the good thing about Xeritol, it has a zero reentry interval. And again, you can see this information at our Cornell Guidelines website through the IPM, New York State IPM website. The disease diagnostic update this week from Rich Buckley, the Director of Diagnostic Services at Rutgers, again, is focusing on a lot of the issues we've been talking about in the last few weeks with regard to foliar diseases and spray intervals. Turfgrass submissions in recent days are reflecting the lingering effects of the rainy weather. In the last few weeks, red thread disease was spectacular in the field. Almost everywhere Rich went, he looked, there was red thread in the turf. In the laboratory, we had a handful of red thread submissions, which indicate the severity of the disease in the field. Red thread is easy to diagnose, so we don't see much of it in the lab. The same can be said for dollar spot. Most educated turf managers learn dollar spot symptoms early in their career, and we don't get a ton of it in the laboratory. The fact is that when pressure in the field is very high, The fact is, when Rich sees pressure in the starts getting lots of dollar spot in the laboratory, the disease pressure in the field is very high. I got that out. In short, walking around personal survey yesterday, Rich starting to see lots more dollar spot in locations that were previously dominated by red thread. In the lab over the last week, several samples of golf turf from fairways, tees, and greens were also showing that extreme disease pressure is causing fungicide breakdown and with a couple of the common materials that were not quite cutting it, the disease would flare at the end of the interval. While there are many factors involved in poor fungicide performance, and high disease pressure is one of them, we often consider fungicide resistance as an option and are running resistance screening on some of the isolates in the lab that they're getting. Resistance or not, dollar spot pressure is high, so it's important to make good selection of material, apply the product according to label recommendations, tank mix, and rotate manager resistance. Gain an advantage with your materials by also using the tools available in an integrated disease management program. Anthracnose is being diagnosed with increased frequency at this time. It's still relatively early in the season for this disease to exhibit full-blown symptoms, but the grass has been worn down in the rain and overcast weather and is starting to bonk. Very common term used in training and triathlon and biking circles, the word bonk, where things fall apart. Sites with poor root zone management seem to be particularly vulnerable. Anthracnose was identified at several putting green samples from New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. Summer patch and brown patch flare-ups expected in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Highs in the 60s the last couple of nights, afternoon thunderstorms, and nearly 100% humidity should drive these diseases. Gazing in the grass this week, we start out talking about moss control. Of course, not surprising with the wet weather. Carfentrazone, sold as Quicksilver, is labeled in New York for moss control and is best applied at a tenth of a pound of active ingredient per acre, which comes out to about 6.7 fluid ounces of product per acre of Quicksilver, TNO. Apply twice at 14-day intervals. Activities improve with the addition of a non-ionic surfactant at 0.25% volume to volume. Some studies have found that it works best applied in the fall. However, many have had excellent results with in-season control, but you might expect some yellowing of your turf during stressful periods. Now, again, following up on some of the disease discussion from before, disease pressure for many foliar diseases at record high levels. This pressure will challenge even the most stout of fungicide programs. This is when cultural controls, while not able to sustain quality on their own, can add days to your spray intervals. Avoid excess N applications, but don't let the turf fall into the valley of limited N supply by trying to get some extra days out of your slow-release material. Promote surface drying either with regular top dressing and in-season cultivation, or if possible, consider the use of fans. Also, there's a great body of work conducted by Alex Elram, professor at SUNY Cobleskill, that suggests what others have shown, how rolling in the morning will reduce surface moisture and also reduce overall dollar spot pressure. In the end, though, we may be in a period where 14 to 21 day intervals may have to move to 7 to 10 day intervals. Rotating fungicides will be critical as your number of applications will grow. And as mentioned in the past, consider using your FRAC codes available in our turfgrass guidelines and on the labels of all your fungicides. It's critical to keep up on application methods using the appropriate amount of water volume when treating, and be sure to use label rates, as applying below label rates is illegal in New York State. Finally, again, a reminder about in-season cultivation. I've long advocated the use of non-disruptive forms of in-season cultivation with needle tines or water injection cultivation. I urge you to consider these options, but of course wait for some dry soil drying. It's best to get ahead of this, as any heat can be catastrophic on sealed surfaces. And of course, we're seeing a lot of sealed surfaces on golf courses, particularly putting greens, where we're increasing the use of fine sands for top dressing to get in these dense canopies, and also increasing the frequency and amount of rolling that we're doing that's sealing off these surfaces. So I'd encourage you to get some holes in there in a non-disruptive way that allows you to continue play unabated, so golfers don't see the holes and don't create bumpy greens for them, and at the same time gets much needed air into that surface. Finally, remind you again, July 15th, 8 to 12, our Cornell Turfgrass Field Tour number 2 continues at our research plots here in Ithaca. We'd love to have you here for a walk and talk around the research plots and the Cornell Golf Course. Thanks for joining me this week for the weekly installment of Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, Associate Professor of Turf Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.